800-522-4700.
A lifetime of love.
Welcome back to Cheyenne Today, brought to you by Black Hills Energy. I'm Carrie Hayden. Thanks for joining us for the second part of our show today. Don't forget to listen for your cue to call. We'll do that in just a little bit here for the KFBC Easy Cash Qualifier. Joining us for the second part of our show today is Adele Gardner with Meridian Trust. Welcome this morning, Adele.
Good morning.
Good morning. Talking about a few different things today, but first I'm going to talk about account ownership. Now, I didn't really understand what this meant until I kind of was looking. So talk to me about what that exactly means and why it matters.
Sure. So many times when we think about financial institutions and banking, we spend a lot of time on the loan side of the house. And so talking about how to build your credit score, auto loan rates, first-time home buyers. But there's an entire other side of the equation, and that's for when you're maybe not borrowing, but you're saving money, or what's in your checking account, or your CDs that you have with your financial institution. And so many times, we forget who owns that money, right? And so I'm really spending some time and talking about what it means to be an owner on an account and who has the rights to get information on that account, who can come in and withdraw cash, or ultimately, at the end, who will benefit from those funds, right? Who your beneficiary is when you pass away. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a really important topic, especially as we're kind of going into spring cleaning season. So many people kind of set it and forget it when they first open their account. Wherever they bank, they set up their joint owner and their beneficiaries, and then that's it. And so much can change over a lifetime. And so really want to make sure that all of your bank accounts, whether it's at credit unions, banks, even your investment accounts, that you have a real understanding of what happens when you pass away, right? We all know that's the end of it. And so making sure that you're protecting those that you love with beneficiaries and such.
So and when you're talking about accounts, it's checking account, it's savings accounts, it's all those.
All of those, right? Yes. Okay. Checking accounts, savings accounts, if you have money market accounts or we call them share certificates at the credit union, but certificate of deposits, all of that needs to be protected. And, you know, I think a lot of times one of my favorites that gives me a bit of a chuckle is I have two girls. And so they, of course, have their little savings accounts and mama is the joint owner on it. Right. And so I can go in and help them make their deposits or, you know, withdraw cash for whatever they need today or want today. But all of a sudden, when my daughter's turn 18, I am still a joint owner on their account. And so I think sometimes people forget that their parents might be a joint owner on their account. And so certainly some interesting conversations when their 26-year-old is spending maybe money that mm-hmm. parents don't think they should be spending. And so again, not only when you pass away, but as you go through your journey and you're ready to add your future husband or wife, it might be time then to take mom and dad off the account. And so that goes across the board, not only from savings accounts, but every other account that you have at your financial institution.
I'm glad you brought that up because my son just turned 18.
It's time.
And I'm thinking, oh, you know what? I am. I was used to, you know, I'd have to sign his checks for him and things like that. And it's like, well, I guess I don't have to do that anymore. I guess it's time that he can kind of figure that out on his
own. Well, and it's so funny because, you know, parents come in and their son turns 19 or 18 or whatever, and they're like, I don't want to see what he's spending his money on. Awesome. We agree. Come in and remove yourself as an owner and have him come in and take care of that. And so again, I just think that people forget that just because somebody turns 18 or just because somebody passes away, the only thing that financial institutions have to rely on is that contract, right? Mm-hmm. That signature card that you set up when you set up the account.
Yeah.
You know, or if you didn't have beneficiaries, if you set up your son as a beneficiary and then you had another child, probably want to update your beneficiaries to make sure that you're leaving your legacy for all your children. Or maybe you have a child who you're like, no way.
Right.
I don't want them to have that. You know, I mean, everybody's family situation is so different that it's just one of those things that I was just talking to a gentleman here this morning who hadn't looked at their beneficiaries in 17 years.
Yeah.
So much life can happen in 17 years. And then I think, you know, from the pandemic, we had a lot of people all of a sudden, because there were so many unknowns and it was big and scary, that it's like, what if something happens to me? Mm-hmm. What happens then? And then taking the time, it does not take long. Most financial institutions need a name, a date of birth, and if we're lucky, a social, but we don't even need that. But to go through and update and kind of clean up those documents and make sure that you know where your money would go if something would happen to you.
So probably the best time to do this is when you open the account, right? I mean, obviously, you know, like you said, when you're even 18, 19, 20, you don't think about if something happened. You don't think that way when you're young. But that's probably the best time to go ahead and put beneficiaries maybe on your account is when you open them?
I think a great time, absolutely. I think any account that's open should always have a beneficiary, just somebody. Because if not, then somebody is still going to have to clean that up, right? If something were to happen to you. And so that's either becoming a personal representative of your estate or filing paperwork and kind of going through all of those steps that somebody who is experiencing heartache, you know, if you can take the time to set it up at the beginning, and that can really help make sure that that's all taken care of. And they don't have to think about that while they're managing everything else that goes on. Sure. If something were to happen to you. I also think not only at the time that the account is set up, but any life changes, right? I think when you get married or if you were to get divorced, if you were to buy a new home, if you were to move from state to state and set up new accounts in a new state, I think all of those are really good opportunities. And then, of course, I think anytime you're adding to your family or something significant has happened in your family is a really good time to just go through and dust it off and just glance at it and make sure that it's all where you think it should be.
Now, what can this person do? What can the beneficiary do on your account? I mean, is that maybe hold some people back? You know, they're alive and they're well and they have this money, but they have a beneficiary on their account. Are they maybe scared that something might happen?
A beneficiary has no access to your account because they're not an account owner. So beneficiaries don't even need to know that they're a beneficiary on your account until the time comes, right? And so, you know, as an example, my daughters are the beneficiaries on my account. They have no access to anything on my account. But it is important to know that not only beneficiaries, they don't have access, but your joint owner certainly do. And so there is a difference between being a joint owner on an account and a beneficiary on an account. And so a joint owner has full access to everything within your account. And so they can come in and withdraw all of the cash and write checks and do some other things on your account. So choosing who is a joint owner versus a beneficiary is important, because if something were to happen to you, the funds in your account become the joint owners. It's only when all of the owners pass away that beneficiaries come into play.
Now, wouldn't this be covered in a will, or I mean, is it not covered in a will?
So wills are really, there's a lot of confusions about wills. And so let me put a little asterisk by my name. I am not a lawyer, but I've worked in the financial industry, you know, for nearly 15 years. And so I get that a lot. Somebody will walk in with a will that says, you know, the funds in this account belong to my granddaughter. Most financial institutions, nearly all financial institutions, will not accept a will to pay out a beneficiary. And the reason that we will not accept a will to pay out a beneficiary is because we have no proof that that was truly the last will and testament. Because will and testaments can be changed at any time by anyone, the one that you bring in today, she may have torn up 3 months ago and created a new one. And so wills are really good for the person who's appointed in a will to become the executor of their estate. That's oftentimes kind of what happens. And then they can take that will to a lawyer or to the courts to petition to become the personal representative to settle that deceased person's estate. And so a will, you can't just walk into a financial institution and present that will and think that that will work. Just because as a financial institution, we are not able to prove that that truly is the last instruction from the member. And oftentimes, you know, again, we live and die by the contract, that signature card. I can't ask the person, gotcha. Right? Because yeah. they're no longer here.
Right.
And so that's why wills are not often accepted by financial institutions.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just common sense there. If a beneficiary receives this money, and are they, do you know, do you have to pay taxes on this?
I'm not a tax advisor, but oftentimes that's why people do set up beneficiaries, because then it passes directly on to their beneficiary, and there's oftentimes not taxes passed on to them. And again, certainly you'd want to talk to a tax advisor. That more so happens on things like IRAs or investment accounts, where then it becomes an inherited IRA where there's some distributions. But normal checking accounts, savings accounts, CDs, those typically don't have tax implications for the beneficiary. So that's why people set them up.
If you want your beneficiary to be maybe an organization or a business or a nonprofit, is that possible?
It is possible. Yes, you can set up your house plant to be a beneficiary. The thing is if you set up an organization to be a beneficiary, that organization, A, needs to know that they're the beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come in to collect funds, we need to have whoever's coming in on behalf of that organization to prove to us that they're able to transact. So I serve on a board, Family Promise of Cheyenne. If somebody were to leave Family Promise of Cheyenne, their funds in their account, Family Promise of Cheyenne would have to provide proof that Adele could come in and receive those funds on Family Promise's behalf.
Okay.
So
just make sure you kind of have that set up if that's what you're going to do.
Absolutely.
Right?
Most of the time we see people rather than organizations, but sometimes we do. And oftentimes members decide for more complex estate planning to put their funds in a trust and then let their trustee kind of handle it. But not everybody needs a trust. Again, a simple estate plan such as beneficiaries can work. But when you start splicing and dicing kind of more granular on, I want this person to get 75% and this person to get 25%, that gets a little more complex. So we always recommend that you do some actual estate planning.
What happens if somebody passes away and there's no beneficiary on their account?
So then at that point, it would go to that person's estate.
Okay.
And whoever is appointed as personal rep for that estate would be responsible for collecting those funds. If no one ever claims those funds, it goes to the state as unclaimed property. And it kind of sits in the state's eternal vault, basically, waiting for somebody to claim those funds. And so every state's rules on when property becomes unclaimed is dependent on the state.
Adele, you folks over at Meridian Trust, can you kind of counsel people in terms of this? I mean, I'm sure you have people coming that have maybe no idea. So are you kind of there to kind of
absolutely
push them in the right direction?
You know, my coworkers, and I'm sure some of them are listening right now, think I'm a little silly when it comes to account ownership, because truly, I mean, you guys have talked to other people who are so passionate about lending and so passionate about that side. Account ownership is a passion for me, just because I've seen so many times over my 15 years where it doesn't go the way people hoped it would. And having those conversations is hard, right? They're already experiencing heartache. So yes, they can come in and ask us questions. And it's really important that people know that it can vary financial institution to financial institution, how beneficiaries work, how they pay out. So if somebody comes into Meridian Trust and talks to me, wonderful, I will get your account set up just the way you want it here. That does not mean your account that you would have somewhere else is the exact same. So it all is really dependent on the bank membership agreement or terms and conditions of being a customer. And so I know that reading those terms and conditions is a little boring to some. I love it. but it matters, right? And we're dealing with what people love the most, and that's their family. And love and money is a powerful emotion. And so, yes, come see me and I will talk to you. Of course, our wonderful staff will help you too, but certainly it's a passion point for me.
Yeah, that's good to know that it varies, you mm-hmm. know, by institution, because, yeah, you go in one place and think you're set up, and, you know, you go in somewhere else and it could be completely different.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
And things can change. You know, my mom, for example, she had her home in a trust and she refinanced it and they took it out of the trust to refinance and work on the mortgage. And unfortunately, it was never put back into the trust by the title company. And so, again, she was just going through and updating some things and making sure that everything was in order, and stumbled across that.
Luckily.
And so then that set off a whole chain of events. So it's not just bank accounts, right? It can be anything that is part of ultimately your estate and the legacy that you're looking to hopefully leave for others in your family. And so every institution is different.
Yeah. And like you said, you know, you mentioned when you should update these policies, when your, you know, kids turn 18, things like that. But, you know, it's good, as you said, spring cleaning, maybe put that on your list to kind of update this stuff during that time too, or even just take a look at it, make sure it's ready to go.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. And, you know, it takes 5 minutes and a call to your financial institution. It's not anything you have to go in person to do. So just give them a call. And if you want to update it, or you're like, oh, I haven't seen my signature card in a long time, they can generate you a new one and update all of that information really with an electronic signature. Most financial institutions, I guess I can speak best for Meridian Trust, that all it requires is a phone call and a quick 5 minute update.
Easy as that.
Yes.
All right. Well, Adele Gardner, thanks so much for joining us from Meridian Trust. Any questions people have, they can just get a hold of you over there. Right?
Absolutely. We're happy to help. And so thank you for your time.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks for joining us. Your weather forecast is coming up next. First, we'll take a qualifier for that KFBC Easy Cash. Go ahead and be caller number 5-634-1240. Caller number 5. Capital City
Weather. Hi, and forecast, fair to partly cloudy skies and warmer